Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Wednesday, December the 3rd, 2014, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. Michael, we do already have a caller, but first, let's hear your introduction.
Awesome. Well, thank you, and we welcome everybody to the show. It's a delight to have you join us once again. We are blessed by each person who chooses to pick up the phone and call into the show each day, or to go to the chat room and listen there, or on the other stations we're broadcast on that we don't get to see or connect with. We're delighted that you're here, and our opportunity, as usual, is to bring forward the original Aramaic understanding, in particular, of forgiveness, key of the tool for changing the content of one's mind and moving into the space of living a true human life. Our definition of a true human life is a simple one. Hold a newborn child, you know exactly what it is. Jeannie and I had a very exciting morning this morning. We went and spoke to about 45 grade 6, 7, and 8 kids, along with, I think there were about 6 teachers there. And so we had a really interesting morning presenting the whole idea of forgiveness, asking a group of 6th, 7th, and 8th graders how many have held a newborn, and probably two-thirds of them had brothers and sisters that were newborns that they got to hold. And so we got them to describe to us the essence of the newborn, came up with a list. And then when we asked them the question that we generally ask adults, Jeannie, when she opens the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, starts out with that question of holding a newborn and describe the essence of newborn. Then when we went through and asked the question of the second question we usually ask, and that is how many have ever done something they regret? Interesting list of answers from the kids for that. And there was quite a stir of energy in the room when I invited them to notice that no one, when they do what they regret, ever says they were in this space of connectedness and love and peace and beauty and all the human attributes, and that it seemed to really be a point that was driven home for them to recognize that when we give up the active presence of love, we give up our human lives. And then to go through the process of forgiveness and to recognize what that word forgiveness actually means and how it impacts what goes on within our structures. It was a pretty fun morning, pretty exciting morning. So we thank the Friends School for inviting us, and we did put it out that if the space was there, we'd be delighted to come back again before the week is out. We'll see if that happens to fit in the schedule there. So we thank you all for your invitation to come and play. And if you happen to be in Wilmington, North Carolina, that's where we're playing right now. Tonight, tomorrow night, and Friday night, we'll be doing a series of free workshops. Tonight, Healing Through Relationships. Tomorrow night, Codependence to Interdependence. And Friday night, we'll be doing Laws of Living. Saturday, the one workshop that when we travel, we charge a fee for, Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. So that's our plan. And then on Sunday, we are back on the road. Well, actually, I'm going to be on the road. Well, we'll both kind of be on the road. I'm going to be in the air, actually. We'll do the Sunday service at Unity here in Wilmington. And then Jeannie will deliver me to the airport because I fly into to St. Louis to pick up our new used van. We found what looks like a pretty good van in St. Louis after the engine blew out on our old Sprinter. And so we just invite you to hold the space for us. We've got a pretty busy week. We'll be heading up there, picking that up, driving back to Bristol, reinstalling all the equipment from the old van to the new one, and getting back on the road again to Florida. So we've got a busy space in front of us. Anybody happens to be in Bristol, wants to come help us do that changeover on the van, we'd love some hands. And other than that, we're just delighted to be here with you and have this opportunity to share these principles of forgiveness. And so, Jeannie, you said, well, let's say hello to Dr. Tim, and then we'll see who's got a hand up. Dr. Tim, how do you be, young man?
Actually, he's not with us yet.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's say hello to our caller.
All right. I think they're right here in North Carolina, area code 910. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Dan.
Well, hey there, young man. Welcome. How can we support you today, sir?
I got a big question. Let me talk through this. The material I would like to forgive is I. So I think it's the big I that wants to forgive the little I. Them is another issue. So the little I believes that the big I is outstanding in actuality and maybe even dashing. In my reality,
Say that last phrase again. I didn't quite catch it, Dan.
Okay, is there any way I can email you this, sir? Because I got
good,
a while.
Sure.
Okay, how do we do that?
You could email me at mjr187@gmail.com.
No, I'm not there yet. Okay.
MJR.
187.
@gmail.com. So where are we going with our question?
Basically, is there any way we can fine-tune a form that's just focused on fixing the I and not the them? Because I know the problems are within I.
Right. Well, you know, any of the reality management worksheets, the only difference between working on oneself and working on another is simply who you put in the blanks. So you can be totally focused on me. And if the object of attention, I start out, of course, in number 1A with the latest worksheet of my own name, who am love, feel. And so it's focused in me. And then when I get to number 1C, if the object of attention of my upset, I was supposed to go out this morning and take care of this, and I forgot, and what a dummy I am. And so that object in number 1C would be my own name. Then once again, I forgot to take care of something. What's my thought? What a dummy I am. What's my feeling? I'm angry. And so that would be exactly where you'd go with that worksheet. So it's totally dependent on what you put into the blanks.
And how about the line that says, how did I violate this?
Well, remember that when you do a worksheet on self, You're going to treat self as though you were a third person. And so let's take that scenario that I just laid out very briefly. I get down to number three, and I look at what's the goal for me. And my goal is to handle everything perfectly. And so I get down to number five, and I cancel my need to handle everything perfectly. And when I get to number six, having canceled that need to handle everything perfectly, I might see that, well, actually, I was able to be awake in the moment and do what really needed to be done, and I didn't need to go for that. And so then when I look at number 6C, when have I violated the goal to handle everything perfectly? You know, wherever, whenever, if that fits, although it's somewhat of a redundant point when you're doing a worksheet on yourself, because, of course, the goal you're working on is one that you hold for yourself. So that particular step 6C would tend to be redundant.
Okay. So I could actually remove that question?
You could, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I guess that's one of the major things that I'm trying to focus on.
Right.
I know there's a lot of other issues with them, but where I've had the cancerous brain tumor, I got lots of things that I just need to forgive in myself.
Right.
So would you say it's also good just to kind of take care of the top surface for a little while before I try and get down to the root?
Yes, always I suggest that, you know, it's like any other skill. You wouldn't take a 10-year-old girl who says, I want to play baseball, and put her up in front of the pitcher for the New York Yankees the first time she holds a bat. You'd help her to develop the skills. And so it is with the worksheet. Yes, start with the surface stuff before you get going to the deeper, more emotionally impactful stuff.
Okay.
All right, sir. We appreciate you. We'll look forward to seeing you tonight.
Thank you.
Okay. Blessings. Take care.
Take care.
Jeannie.
Dr. Tim is now with us.
Well, let's say hello to the young man. How do you be, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you. I was wrapping up a session right before getting on the call, and so I didn't realize I was as late as I was. I missed the intro and that caller, but I'm doing well. We had another wonderful, loving support group last night with 10 people plus me, and we watched the second half of Personal Power and Commitment and your traceable process of how we go from being enthusiasm and love and connected to the Creator and deny and suppress things until we end up in unconsciousness and disease. So then we had good questions about that. We had a couple relatively new people there still asking questions, learning about the process, and that's always, for me, something I find resonates a lot of joy and fun in me, to be able to express these tools, expose them to new people, and have people be curious about them. And the video went so long because last week we only did the first 25 or 30 minutes of the video, and then we worked on the actual secondary purpose exercise and gave people time to work on it and question it. So this time the video went even longer, and we ended up discussing the questions and the principles behind the work, and didn't actually do a worksheet process last night, but it was a very lively group and people talking about what's been working for them and where they're stuck, and just a joy and a blessing to be in on that. And we had some opportunities for people to watch their regulatory speech about how they were thinking that they were focused on themselves, but actually talking about other people as causing their issues. So it was very productive.
Awesome. Very cool.
How are things going in your neck of the woods?
We had a really awesome Course in Miracles group last night. We did the Introduction to Advanced Understanding of the Course in Miracles, and had fun with it. It was kind of an interesting, energetic evening. And so we're just kind of rolling along. We got to, if you weren't on the show earlier, I talked about the fact that we got to go in and work with 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, 8th graders this morning, and that was just pretty cool. And we're holding a space that maybe the door will open for us to get back in there again before we leave. So a few more seeds about forgiveness and living as a human being. So it's powerful. Getting ready tonight to do healing through relationships.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I'm thrilled to be able to offer a second group again tomorrow night and help people look at that powerful tool. We've talked before about how things seem to go in waves and the frequencies of who comes into my office with what problems. They tend to clump in. I'll have 4 or 5 people and they'll come in with a depressed mood, and then I'll have 4 or 5 people come in with a relationship issue, and then I'll have 4 or 5 or 10 people who come in and their whole thing is, I don't know why I'm here or what my purpose is in life. And so, as you might imagine, over the past few weeks, I've had more than my average share of people coming in saying, I just want to find joy and happiness in my life, and I really hate what I'm doing. And so we pull out the tool of alignment with purpose, primary and secondary, and creating, crafting for each individual that the alignment of the things they are naturally good at with the things they find joy in doing and their image of how they can help the world become perfect. And that's a wonderful tool. I have gratitude for your development of that tool, and I've been using it a lot in the past few weeks.
Cool. Yeah, it's powerful when people tap into and live out of their purpose. It's a pretty sweet space to be.
Well, and as you're saying, you know, I was mentioning that I've been listening to some of the Abraham Hicks work over the past weekend, and the holiday weekend I had more time. And one of the things Abraham says is people want to know what their path is. They want to know what their purpose is. They want to know what the goal is. And Abraham's advice is get yourself aligned with your loving energy. He calls it the vortex. And when you get in alignment with that and you feel that, you'll be in the place where your path appears beneath your feet. At one point he talks about just the same way you do in terms of, you know, here comes this, the love of God, the love of the Creator, the source energy, the vortex energy that's trying to express through you. And that's on, you know, FM 91.5, and you have your AM dial set to 340 AM or 560 AM, and you can't receive the signal. But it's always there. You know, what you need,
oh, it's interesting.
Your connection to your source is always there. Go ahead, Michael.
I was just going to say it's interesting that in Aramaic, that word that's been translated as soul, nafsha, can be properly translated as a tuning mechanism, very much like a radio tuner. What frequency are we attuned to? And, of course, when we have a lot of challenges in the physical world, and Dan, who we were just talking to before you came on, is a gentleman who's been through some pretty heavy-duty challenges with a brain tumor and the damage done through chemo and radiation and such. And Dan, I acknowledge you for the sweet space that you carry and the fact that you're willing to work through all of the frustrations and all of the challenges from what you're facing in your physiology. And I certainly join with you, and just as Dr. Tim was just saying, I certainly join with you in attuning to that frequency of being, that frequency of love, and to keep flooding your physiology with that and bringing that into the world and focusing on the truth of who you are. And I certainly join with you in that. I certainly wouldn't even pretend to imagine what you've been through. It's unfathomable to me, but I certainly hold the space and join you in moving forward as the truth of who you are. So we're delighted that you've been with us in the classes this week and to have your phone call a little earlier. Awesome. So our call-in number, 646-200-4169. Anyone has a question for us? We would love to hear your sweet voice and support you by doing the best we can to answer your questions.
There is a question in the chat room.
Oh, go for it, sweetie.
And it says, this is Angela, and she says, I have a question on my worksheets. The past three times I have done a level 10 plus, when I get to framing a constructive goal in step three, I'm unable to think of specifically what I want. What resonates at that step is that I am so triggered with my own pain, I am determined to try to make them not right. I know it's an inside job. I'm so aware of that. Maybe this is actually a step forward, question mark. The worksheet then is about me, so I'm just asking Rooka to help me remove what doesn't belong.
Yep, that's a good place to go. And Angela, my offering would be that what I hear in your words is that you want them to be perfect. And so the goal that I'd be working around would be for them to be perfect. And then, of course, there's a good chance that it's all projection, it's all an inside job, and that who you really want to have be perfect is Angela or the people around you. And so I would support you looking at and maybe doing some work around canceling your need to be perfect and moving forward in that presence of love as you are committed to doing. That would be my input. Any thoughts for you, Dr. Tim? Jeannie?
Resonates pretty much the same way for me. It's, I always look at when I get so triggered when I'm doing a worksheet that I can't stay focused on the worksheet, or I have my anger or energy of fear or grief intensify, I tend to take a break and breathe and focus on allowing myself to feel what I'm feeling. And I know the EFT tapping routine, so I will use that as well. And I'm not doing it to deny or suppress the energy. I'm doing it to allow it to flow through me and be willing to see what's underneath it. And I have found that the deep breaths and the combination of the breathing with the tapping allows me to dissipate the extra unpleasant energy. As I feel it, it dissipates. As I allow it, it dissipates. And then it allows me to focus much more clearly on the worksheet process and the step I was stuck on. So that'd be my input.
Cool. Awesome. So our call-in number, 646-200-4169. Got a question for us? Call us. We'd love to hear your voice.
We do have a hand up, and I would just like to add something, too. This morning when we went into that class, one of the things that really kind of stood out for me that I thought about was when you asked for the list of what were you feeling when you did something that you regret, and
right.
Their answer, this is 10, 11, 12, 13-year-olds, and their answers were, you know, all the same as adults. I mean, it was frustrated, and it was just like amazing. And my thought was, you know, why do they even feel such intense emotions at such a young age? And
It was just, that was just something that stood out for me. But I think they got it, and a couple of them asked some really good questions and everything.
Yeah, I had the same thought, sweetie. And asking them, it's like, well, gee, I wonder what kind of answers we're going to get. And we got jealousy, and we got anger, and we got, you know, I mean, it was precisely the same as the adults would bring forward. And you're right, how crazy is it that we've got kids functioning at that level? And one young lady asked a really poignant question. She said, well, you know, and of course it's one that I see happen with adults over and over and over again in relationships. And this young girl's maybe 12, maybe 11. And she asks, what happens if you're in a relationship and trust is broken? Can that ever be restored? I mean, that's like a question that I've heard from, I can't tell you how many spouses I've heard that from that have been cheated on. And, of course, the direction that we went with that is, well, you'll notice that if trust has been broken, the focus of the mind tends to be in the outer world. Look what that person did. They broke the trust. But the real issue for the person who's feeling the effects of that broken trust is fear. And she seemed to be very receptive to hearing that, oh, okay, so as opposed to me fixing the trust, I'm going to go in and start to deal with my fear. And I'm going to forgive my capacity to have fear. And then we moved into the discussion about, well, and then if the person that you've had that trust issue with is willing to do something about their end of the process, then perhaps, you know, their breaking the trust is about their anger or their fear or their sadness or whatever. And that when two come together with the idea of supporting each other and healing, and each heal. And it was just, there was such a sweet space in the room of the, with these kids who were just like, oh, is that how it could work? And it's like, oh, my God, how different would my life have been if I'd have been taught that at the age of 11? Would your life have been different, Jeannie, if you'd have learned that one at the age of 11, or Dr. Tim?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Transformative.
Big time.
Let's go for our caller. It's another North Carolina. 910, you're on the air.
Hey, Jeannie. Hey, Dr. Tim. Hey, Michael.
Hey.
Susan.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome. How goes your day?
It's wonderful. Thank you. It was so good to hear Dan. You know, Dan, I just want to acknowledge him for the incredible scores, the shift that he had during the 8 weeks of the Laws of Living.
Huge.
Yes. Huge, absolutely huge, 50 points, I believe it was, around fear. That's amazing.
And I would like to acknowledge his teacher as well, and his support system as well, which, of course, was the whole group. But for those who don't know whose voice we're listening to and whose accent we're listening to, it's Susan Darnell, who taught the Laws of Living class that Dan was in. And I just want to publicly, you know, offer you accolades for the awesome job that you did from two perspectives. One, you know, that we got to be there and breathe everybody and go through the personal code evaluations and the awesome shifts that took place with everybody. But one of the other things that I got out of being there on Monday night was how you had created such a camaraderie and such a space of support for each person with each other was fabulous. So, nice work.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Are you breathing?
I'm breathing. I'm thinking to myself, but this is what the thought that's going through my head. Oh, no, I'm going to cry. The thought that goes through my head is that I love my children. It's like they're an extension of the love in me. And when I'm with them, they resonate the love in me. I mean, it's like it beams out of their eyes when they look into my eyes and mine at them. I mean, it's just so powerful. And I think that's one thing we focused on during the 8 weeks was doing love exchanges with ourselves and with each other, and meeting with our partners and doing that. So, I mean, it really was a powerful 8 weeks, 9 weeks really, because you did breathe us, and I appreciate you and Jeannie coming so much. It was so exciting, and it was fabulous to see how willing they were to do their work, to do the worksheets and to push through the issues, because I'm telling you, the vitality of that group was incredible, and they went down into the deep, dark recesses of the carbon-based memory, and things came to the surface and was allowed to heal in that space. And to me, talk about being aligned with your purpose. I was on cloud 1,000. You know, it was like after they would leave, I would do breathing just to get myself where I could possibly go back to sleep, go to sleep. But, I mean, it was just like I would wake up and I was just like, is this a dream or is this real? Is this really happening? But what I called today for was to acknowledge Dan, because Dan has challenges where he went through the treatment around the brain tumor and his willingness to persevere. Yes, huge, huge. Yes. And his willingness to have a sense of humor around the issues that could be disheartening, it's just really inspiring for me to be in his presence and to have him as my friend and as a student and a teacher, because he's definitely my teacher. And one thing I wanted to ask, this was the question when I was calling in, I know Dan struggles with the worksheet process to write and to read them. And I was thinking about how I have heard you say, hold in the space of love for yourself when you're triggered. And I just wondered if you would talk a little bit about how that can dissolve the carbon-based memory as well as worksheets and breathing.
Well, the key to me, the key to the healing process is, can I keep love conscious, active, and present when something less than love comes up? And when I do, I'm stepping into a space of process. So when I can look in the mirror and hold that active space of love, that's when I'm dissolving what never belonged within the structure. And so certainly processing oneself. The other thought that I have is that, Dan, you might get a copy of Dragon Naturally Speaking. And with the challenge in writing, you might find it easier to, you know, literally have the written worksheet in front of you and do the worksheet verbally out loud using Dragon Naturally Speaking, which will type it all out for you. So you do, you know, you do the whole worksheet live each time you do it. You might find that a more powerful way to approach, or an equally powerful way to approach doing the worksheet process. So that would be one of the things you might want to try or check out.
And, Michael, if money is an option, if money is an option, he can Google free speech-to-text software. There are a number of them out there.
Aha, cool. So that might be something to do, Dan, to continue work and, you know, to be able to really focus on and do those processes in a complete written form so that you've got a record of them and can go back. Because when you visually see it, there's a different level to the ability to process things, I believe.
Yes.
So Susan, what other thoughts do you have for us?
Well, you know,
oh, great teacher of the Southeast.
Oh, you are precious. Thank you for even going there. One thing that's just so incredibly inspiring is the opportunity, even in the groups that are coming to the church in the evenings, is to offer hope. You know, I know that they listen, and I really hope that they will come to the Mind Shifter group and that we'll get the opportunity to do worksheets with a lot of the people. I just was thinking today, you know, we do the work, and I think I said this last night on our way home, was, you know, we present the work. And I think the most important tool is maybe at the beginning of a workshop to say, if you're triggered during this incredible information that comes in with anything less than love, there are three things you can do. Number one, make sure you breathe through it, because the breath will burn off any trauma for you during this hour or two that we're going to be together. Number two, hold the space of love. Think of that newborn baby and bring that up as soon as possible when you feel anything less than love. In any moment, if I say anything, that gives you the opportunity to heal, because it is an opportunity to heal. And the ego will use it to be wrong, make other people wrong, but it's an opportunity. And number three, to cancel the goal that you have for it to be different, whatever goal is running that behavior or upset that's happening. You know, just to offer them those three things at the beginning of every workshop, whether it's healing through relationships, codependency, whatever, and just to periodically remind, because I look at my class when I'm teaching and I can see on the faces this shocked look come across somebody's face, or this a little bit of, I'll say upset, but it really looks like rage that something that's been said. And it's just really easy to say, let's all take a breath and let's all remember that in the space of love, everything heals. So if something surfaced for somebody that's less than love, let's just breathe. And just let that be like a routine thing where we get it embedded in our mind when something comes. Because I've been triggered. I mean, I sat in the workshop last night and did at least 5 worksheets while you were doing the talk. And it was on different things that was triggered. And it was all absolutely a gift. It was my father and the childhood that I had with him. And the gift that he gave me of allowing me to have the action to getting this work. I mean, getting this work and having this. If I'd have had this at 11 years old, wow.
Yes, I understand that one.
Wow. You know, to have a father whose name was Justice, can you imagine? Anyway, it's all good. It's wonderful. So that's just my input, and I'm going to go. I'm headed to my next place of business. So I just want to check in with you. I heard Dan on the phone, and I just wanted to acknowledge the incredible work. His scores just were phenomenal, and I'm just so delighted. And he signed up for the next Laws of Living too.
Cool. Well, there's a there's a movie with what you just said about Dad that you would probably find interesting to see. It's actually at the theaters right now, and I'm just trying to think of the name of it. Jeannie, do you remember the name of the film we saw a couple of weeks ago where the father and son, the son's a lawyer, and the father's a judge?
Oh, let me think.
Powerful, and you know, talk about parent-child healing.
It was called
Amazing.
The Judge.
Yeah. Very powerful. So we might take that one on as assignment and go look at it.
I tell you what, that sounds wonderful to me. I would love to do that, and definitely with the name Justice, it felt like Judge. And I felt like an attorney because I was constantly debating. it was good. It schooled me for anything in life that would come my way to be able to, you know, handle it and be quick on my feet. And it's been a gift. And I want to say this. For anybody out there that gets the opportunity to have Jeannie and Michael as their guest, I can tell you for me in Houston is my puppy, we are in the community of love. We are in heaven. It is so nice. I mean, I'm thinking I'm going to have a lot of worksheets when they leave. So anyway, I just want to put that out that I am great in my home, and it has been a blessing so far, and I look forward to the rest of the week.
Well, we're delighted and blessed to be here, so thank you for hosting us. Your hospitality has been phenomenal.
Oh, wow. I'm grateful. Thank you. So with that, I'm going to sign off.
Okay, we'll see you a little later.
Okay.
By the way, Dr. Tim, one of the things we did yesterday was we got to watch the first hour of the new Why Is This Happening to Me Again video. And so I'll drop you a copy of the feedback that I give to Jared, and we'll be seeing where the next step of it goes. But I think it came together well. There are a few nuances there where I had to just sit and laugh at myself as I presented. It was fun to do, fun to watch.
Well, I'm glad you got to that.
At one point, Jeannie was sure, because of where my eyes were falling, that I was giving you the look. And I assure you, Dr. Tim, I was not giving you the look.
It did. I knew that you were sitting right in front of him on the front row, and he just like raised his eyebrows, and his eyes were just like, and I said, did you just send that to Dr. Tim?
It was fun. It was fun to watch. We made a couple of good laughs at some of the ways, and it was kind of neat to watch again, because some of the twists in the workshop that came about were like, ooh, that really fit well. That's better than I usually do it. That was really good. So anyway, cool.
Yeah, that was. I enjoyed watching it too. I've seen them all several times now, so I'm anxious for the time, as I've said this before, when we can be offering that to people as a new version, a new DVD version.
Yes. Yeah, and I did talk to Jared about the fact that they're low-res pictures that are on, you know, the link, and that, you know, the final product will be a high-res image instead of that fuzzy low-res image. He made it small, you know, smaller files so it would be faster and easier to upload and play more smoothly. So, but we'll end up with very high-res images, and so that'll be cool.
Good,
so
good.
Our call-in number, go ahead, Tim.
I just said good, good.
Yes, yes. All right, our call-in number, 646-200-4169. I think we've got about maybe 15 minutes or so left. Well, almost 20. So if you've got a question, we've got time for two or three or four questions. And we would love to hear your voice. We would love to hear what's going on in your world. And if you dial 646-200-4169, if you're on one of those stations we don't have access to, then you can call us directly. And when you get on the phone, if you push 1, put the little hand up in the control panel, and G will know that you want to say something. She'll introduce you by your phone number, and we'll get to chat. So, Jeannie, anything else happening in the chat room or anybody with a hand up?
Well, earlier I had asked Angela if it clicked what you all were talking about when she was talking about being stuck on the worksheet, and you wondered, you put forth the idea of maybe wanting them to be perfect and then turning that and saying wanting herself to be perfect. And so she just now, she said, well, she was thinking about it. And I told her, you know, we just hold the space. And she just now popped back in and said, the perfection projection just clicked. Quote. All right, so here, Mom, I got straight A's. I cleaned the house. I made enough money to pay the rent. See me? I'm good. Do you love me now? Unquote. It's the needs of the power person. And they're unfulfillable, and there's nothing that I could ever do to make it okay.
Accept that. Forgive those dynamics from yourself so that it's okay. And you can't ever make it okay for Mom, but you can forgive from you those dynamics so that it's okay for you. You know, the way that your mind stands in relationship to those experiences is totally up to you. And as you forgive the belief that it's not okay because that was perhaps her judgment, or maybe it wasn't her judgment, maybe it was just your projection. In either event, you can clean that up within yourself, and that just changes everything.
And we do have a hand up.
Awesome. Let's say hello.
Area code 901. You're on the air.
Hello. This is Brenda, Memphis. How are you all doing?
Hey, young lady, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I've been listening the last few days and working with my worksheets. I've got multiple questions, but I'm going to save the big one till tomorrow because I need to kind of work through it a little bit more. But I was going to ask you to make a comment that I found out in doing the worksheets, and you had mentioned before or when I was reading through the instructions on the worksheet, that it said that we should stop and really think about before we check the boxes that said, I'm willing to be loving, I'm willing to do this and that. And I realized that I was one of the ones would go through, yes, I'd read it, check the box, read it, check the box. So after I had read that, I thought, well, let me find another way of doing it. So I had found, and I put this out to anybody who would like to use this technique, is before I check each box, I write on the left margin, or I write down a specific experience where I felt that emotion. And that has helped me out a lot because then I'm really connecting with the shift in the emotion before I check each of the boxes. So that's my comment.
Cool.
And then I had a question on the chart, the mind chart. I've been looking at the intentions and goals and really trying to or working on getting a clear understanding of that, or an internal understanding. And my question now is, where does rage fit on that chart?
It comes. Now, are you talking about the picture of the head with the filters, frontal lobes, intentions?
Right.
Is that what you're referring to as the chart?
Yes, yes, the function of the human mind chart.
Okay.
And
so
I was wondering where the rage would come in. I guess I'm having some difficulty between the negative and the destructive.
No.
And
so
that's a little...
rage would come from the hostility filter and destructive mind, destructive goals or intentions. And the destructive intentions lead to one wanting to destroy, and hostility is, you know, that kind of attack, destroy sort of energy. And so you look at someone who's in that state of attack, and there's always that explosive, destructive energy that ties into rage. That would be my take on it. Now, again, it still ties back into fear, because the rage, anyone who's experiencing rage has used an anesthetic to try to anesthetize or not feel what they're pained about. But the real core, in that case, I would see as being the hostility filter.
Okay. Now, irritation, that was another one. I was having some difficulty in determining which filter, and I think I came to the conclusion that irritation would be under the fear, because I can't see that it would be under the hostility.
Well, it's interesting, if you look at the Course in Miracles, the Course in Miracles says that the slightest irritation is a cover for the deepest rage.
Okay,
so if I exacerbate, if I'm in an irritated state, and I exacerbate that, where do I end up? I end up at rage. It's just a milder form of rage.
Okay. All right. Well, that will be good. Then I can use rage and irritation interchangeably when I'm going through my worksheet. Then the other question on that same page was at the bottom, and it says, Rachma is the filter over intentions that limits available intentions to those key to love. And then it says, it is the word Yeshua used to express the first law. And I didn't quite understand that sentence.
Okay. So when they say Yeshua, what's the first, you know, you're teaching us all this stuff. What's the first law? he says, and he names two different objects of attention, which covers pretty much everyone. He says, with the creator in mind or neighbor in mind, which means anybody that you think about, and you are your own neighbor in Aramaic, you are required by the first law to maintain a condition of rachma. So remember that law is something that happens. So if I stay connected to rachma, to the active presence of love, the filter over intentions, when I think of creator and neighbor, I'm going to get the highest and best output from my mind because it is connected to love. And I'm going to get guidance that comes from the higher faculties of human beingness, where in hostility or fear, I'm going to lose that. So in Aramaic, where we're told by the Greeks, it says, you must love God, neighbor, and self. By the Greeks were told that. In the Aramaic, it says, you must maintain the condition of rachma when you think of the creator, when you think of neighbor, in order to maintain self. So the way this law happens, it's not, you know, kings write a set of rules and say, this is law, but rather, here's what happens. If I maintain rachma when the creator comes to mind, and, you know, over the years, and especially people in church, I've run into so many people who have so much rage and hatred toward God that it's amazing. And so they're not maintaining that condition. And so not maintaining that condition, they lose their human lives. Neighbor, anybody that you think about, if there's a neighbor that when you think about them or they show up in your space, you go into fear or rage, then you've closed the gateway, rachma, for human life, and you lose contact with your true humanness. And so that law, again, law being something that happens as opposed to a set of rules, is if I maintain rachma, most important rule to a human life, I've got a human life. I keep the condition of love in my physiology, whatever's happening in my world. And that's where the most genius part of my mind is. Whenever we ask somebody the question, you know, this morning, you know, Jeannie was lamenting as I joined her, when we asked these 6th, 7th, and 8th grade kids, you know, what were you feeling when you did what you regret? And again, it's all based in hostility or fear. When we lose human life, then we walk into this hostility or fear mode. And so rachma as a law, the way it works is you get to maintain your human life if you live as love. Same way as gravity happens. It's just, this is something that happens. It's how it works. It's not somebody's set of rules. So when you think about gravity, if I honor the law of gravity, I get to fly an airplane, as you know. That's what I get to do. How do I do that? By honoring the law. So gravity happens, human life happens, if I maintain this condition in my mind. Does that make sense to your question?
Yes, it does in a way, but I think my confusion was that Yeshua is a name, was Jesus' name, or the name used for Jesus, so I wasn't getting the correlation between the Yeshua being used to express the first law and Yeshua as his name.
I'm missing something here. Tell me again.
Okay, it says it is the word Yeshua to express. Well, Yeshua is the Aramaic name that Jesus had, right?
Well, I think then what you're reading, I'm not sure what you're reading this one, is a typo.
Okay, it says the word is Y'SHUA.
Okay. So I think, I'm not sure what you're reading, but I think that what it actually means is the word Yeshua used was rachma.
Okay.
So maybe
there's
a typo there.
The word used to express the first law, that makes sense. I was not... Okay, that's
where... I just brought it up on the website, so I don't know if you've got an older copy, because the one that's on the website actually says it is the word Yeshua used to express the first law.
And that's what this says. But see, when I was reading it, I put the emphasis in the wrong place. And I
Yeshua,
which is used. You know, I got my mind got a which is used in there. So this clears it up. Okay. It was just where my mind was going with the emphasis. Okay, that clears that up. I think that's my questions for today. All right, thanks
so much. Thank you. And it was a great focus for questions to get a new level of clarity on that whole principle. So that's awesome.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Okay. One of the things that I really appreciate, you know, this is kind of part of my holdover from Thanksgiving, is the integrity with which people pursue doing their work, and that each one who does advances the teaching another piece and, you know, opens the frontiers, the spaces for questions that just really move the whole work forward. And so thank you to everybody who makes those requests and asks those questions. And so we've got time for one more, and it has to be a quick question because we're down to about 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes. So if not, we'll simply put forward that tonight we're going to be doing Healing Through Relationships here at Unity of Wilmington. Tomorrow night, we're going to be doing Codependence to Interdependence. Friday night, Laws of Living. Saturday, Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. Sunday, we're going to look at the 5 Aramaic keys of Yeshua. 5 most important things that he taught on how to really truly live as a human being. And then Jeannie's going to deliver me to the airport, and I'm going to fly to St. Louis to pick up our new used van and drive it back to Bristol, Tennessee, where we'll get it reloaded. We'll get all of the cabinetry and shelves out of the old van and put them in the new van. And then get on the road so that the next Sunday we can be in Panama City, Florida. So if you look on our schedule, you'll see what it is that we're doing in Panama City at Unity there. And then we're going to be in, let's see, what's our next stop after Panama City, sweetie?
Fort Walton Beach.
Fort Walton Beach. We'll be at Fort Walton Beach for 3 days. And then Unity North in Tampa, then Unity of St. Petersburg before we head to Miami. And we do a week at Universal Truth Center in Miami. And then we'll head on up the east coast of Florida to Pompano. We'll be at Unity of Pompano. Jeannie will be doing the women's retreat at the Duncan Center in Delray Beach. And we'll complete there, and then we'll head up to Orlando, where we'll be spending... Oh, pardon me?
We're also in Fort Lauderdale.
Ah, okay. Oh, yes, we've got a week in Fort Lauderdale. It's the RSL, Religious Science. Sure. Cool.
And then
CSL.
Sebring.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sebring,
and
Florida.
And then Sebring.
And then we'll be doing a 28-day training. Jeannie and I will be doing concurrent intensive. She'll do a 9-day healing the whole woman. I'll do a 9-day, why is this happening to me again? Those groups will join, and we'll go into a 12-day teacher training. We'll be teaching the personal code evaluation interpretation for teachers, and then going into teacher's training, which is designed for people who want to deepen their experience of the why is this happening to me again principles and Aramaic forgiveness. And or those who want to teach the work. So take a look at the calendar. Come join us somewhere along the way in that journey. We appreciate you. Bring a stranger tomorrow and create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Evolving continuously.